life. We're not allowed to punish him because it's not his fault. He doesn't, however, he does not take a sin on the issue without becoming din of ka'akum of life. He now has another din, it's a real din, not a penalty. Abitoris is din of ka'akum, that you have no chiyuv to give tzokesh. So does that only apply to an apikoris the mazes, the pesha, or even to an apikoris the shirzi? So that's a major dispute among the pasuk. Right? There's a famous comment, Rav Chaim said that apikoris the shirzi is also an apikoris. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. But apikoris the shirzi is also an apikoris. The Rambam has 10 drachim in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rav instituted years ago a minhag that every day, like there is no tshuva, the Talmidim should learn one parashah and the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. So on one of those trucking, the Rambam implies that an apikoris b'shogeg is also din ha'katan, is also an apikoris. Now the question is, Chazanish in one place right possibly that it's not, but he's not so sure whether that's right or not. That's a shayla and din. A kinik shenik, but you don't penalize him or anything. You don't say that he's going to burn your head and he goes lose his Adam Habu, whatever, because it's b'shogeg. But the question still is, what apikoris din ha'katan, is that a punishment that we give him? It's only a shlat to the rabbonim? Or maybe it's a real din ha'katan, an apikoris din ha'katan is a din ha'katan. That's a machlokes in Hashem. Machlokes in Hashem. You're right. If apikoris din ka'akum is only a penalty, it's only a punishment, that's not, and then he's b'shogeg, so then he wouldn't. You have a chiyuv medina. Even without the whole discussion, you wouldn't have a chiyuv medina. They all seem to be assuming that apikoris din ka'akum is a real din, even though by many of these people it's b'shogeg, but still there would be no chiyuv tzedakah on a one-to-one basis. But that was the issue that the Chazanish taught is it's not a shaila, plain shaila tzedakah. Explains him the shayla of stuff. This is a shayla from the Gemara of Bava Basra, the end, the middle of Bava Basra. The person has to fix minimum wages and has to fix maximum prices that you can show out for the tikkun amdina. So this is for the tikkun amdina. You have to speak with it. The Jewish workers make a living. The Arabs will figure out how to make their own living. You have to make a takana that says that the boss shouldn't make too much money on the workers. They shouldn't work the workers to the bone and then make all the money. It's not right.
Let's say
they're going better skilled or in a better product than the Jews. So,
by
leaving such a product,
their
work is
even more expensive than
from
the Jews.
Should
we have
to
see the Jews and do United Jews?
I don't think so. I don't think
so. I'm sure there must be some literature on that. I don't know. What's the point of the
Right, so the unions are forcing the boss into giving them higher salaries. And whenever they're forcing them for things that are reasonable, so that's what they all write. You have to have a bezin to task, you know. If there's no bezin available, then you have no bezin. So Avidin is din nafshei. But Avidin is din nafshei, you can take the loan to your own hands, but only when it's absolutely clear, when it's very obvious. But if the garbage collectors are anyway making $35,000 and now they want to make $45,000, I don't know if that's reasonable. You have to figure out in each and every case, is it reasonable? If they're really being treated improperly, they're paid substandard wages, they have a right to be offered in the yeshiva. But if they're getting paid more than the rest of the yeshiva, they want to get more than doctors, so that's what I'm unreasonable. So then if they unionize in order to force the courses into giving them an increase, that's the general manage. They're switching the guy's hands to give more money. That's great. Not that. Yeah. The Gemara says explicitly, you can beat the guy up, you can smash his property, burn down his house. If it's necessary, if you can convince him without popping him over the head, it's about it. But if need be, you can even become violent. So you have a head like a shliach bezin. The Gemara says, Ovidin is in the nafshei based on the principle of nasis yodek and shliach bezin. A shliach bezin, the Gemara has in the third character, might cut him, shliach bezin has a head to beat people up, to rip their hair out, to curse them, and to be violent. So the Avi Nishin Nafshei also has the right to do that if it's necessary. Also, whenever he's violating an Avera, whenever the other party is violating an Avera, it's more also considered that data. Let's say someone is doing an Avera, and I want to beat him up to prevent him. If I beat him up and I know he's going to continue doing the Avera after I walk away, so then I don't accomplish anything. But by beating him up, he'll stop doing the Aveir. Then the Gemara says, you permitted to. That's also, Ovidin, Lakusha Meisure, it's also the same as the Makum Dikam says. Here, if the boss is Mukuyib and Haitikan Amdina, to pay higher wages, or to give better working conditions, or whatever, then he's of an Isur, so the workers would have the right to do whatever is necessary. Okay?
Gavani for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and a little bit on Sukkot. It's quoted very often by the later posts. It's a very explicit statement. He tells that every single minig and every single line and every chizmon, when you say, when you don't say, and so on. More or less, he's considered the final word as far as Rosh Hashanah and Kippur goes. Everybody follows the Tadi Ashkenaz, and everybody follows that his usually with his decision. So the Mabir Prime comments when the Chazanim recite Hinnini on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, after Rav Nechayon, right before the Kaddish. So he says, since we have this dispute as to whether the Kaddish is supposed to follow the reciting of Sukkim, or the Kaddish is an introduction to the Musaf, it doesn't have to be apropos to any Sukkim that preceded it. So in the event that the Chazan recites Hinnini, then the proper thing is the Chazan should say again, Mnucha Yoma, or say some kind of Sukkim softly to himself in order to enable himself to say the Kaddish following those Sukkim. In fact, in many Machzorim, you have a Musaf of Hinnini that concludes with a few Sukkim. You have the tefillah, and then at the end you have just a collection of sukkim. So that enables the chazan already to recite the kaddish for sure. The kaddish is either preceding the tefillah of Musa or it's following the sukkim that he just said. In Shulchan Aruch we have the shaila. The Chafetz Chaim in his commentary called the Mishnah Berurah brings up the shaila every Rosh Chodesh. When our practice is that we only wear tefillin kishachris and we take them off right before Musa, so should we remove, and usually we keep the tefillin on till after the kaddish. After the Kaddish, after Davening. So the question is, should everybody remove their tefillin? We put back the Sefer Torah on Rosh Chodesh, and the regular Rosh Chodesh on the weekday. We say again, Mnucha Yoimah, and then the Chazan says Kaddish, and then in most communities, the people take off the tefillin after the Kaddish. So there's a long pause between the Kaddish and the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. It takes 2 or 3 minutes until everybody removes their tefillin and puts them away. And then everybody starts davening Shemoneh Esrei of Musa. So it comes out that the Kaddish is not immediately decided immediately prior to the Musaf. The Kaddish is recited following the Mnucha Yomah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes other poskim who say no, that the more correct opinion is, that the Kaddish should be the introduction to the Musaf. So we would recommend that everybody should really pause in between the Mnucha Yomah and the Kaddish and take off the tefillin there, like every Shabbat, the Rabbi Gila holds a sermon then. In between the Mnucha Yomah and the Kaddish, and then the Kaddish is the introduction to the Musaf. So this is an ongoing machlokes, it's an old machlokes.
Is the
commitment
about every Shabbos
universal? I don't know. Every Shabbos universal? No, that's for sure not.
No, I mean,
how widespread is it?
It's
not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch at all. I don't
think. Yeah.
So there must be a recent I don't know.
Isn't there a minhag also to take off your tefillin in the middle of Avodat Siyam when you rest on there? So you won't run into the problem at all. Wouldn't that be the best
thing? I mean, every day.
No, not every day.
On Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah. Just take it off before you rest on the Rosh Chodesh and you're smoking back when you're on there.
Yeah.
But that way you would solve all the problems.
Right.
Wouldn't that be the best thing for them?
Yes and no. Yes.
You know,
a little bit, but no, the question is that maybe the proper thing is to retain the tefillin on till after the Kaddish. So let's try to have our tefillin on when the Chazan recites all the Kaddish. So the Kaddish that the Chazan is going to recite after Musaf, we don't have the tefillin on because we didn't have the tefillin on for Musaf. But the Kaddish that's recited after Mnucha Yomah, if we have the tefillin on for Mnucha Yomah, so maybe we should continue to have it on till after the Kaddish. Those are the two minhag, those are the two opinions that are quoted. The Shulchan Aruch mentions a minhag that comes from the Zohar that when the Sefer Torah is taken out from the Yom Kodesh, we recite this prayer of Brich Shmei. In some communities in Germany, they did away with the reciting of Brich Shmei after the era of Shabtai Tzvi, when so many Jews were misled to follow Avodah Zarah. They joined Avodah Zarah because the movement of Shabtai Tzvi began with a lot of stress on Kabbalah. And Brich Shmei and many other minhagim that are based on Kabbalah was unaware with in order that no one should get involved in any Kabbalah. You have a lot of German communities today where they don't recite Brich Shmei. It's really not proper. If the Zohar introduced such a practice, and we should continue the practice today. For a while, for 100 years or so, there was a problem of people being bombed. People possibly following Yeah, they were worried then. They changed the Sechak Tzvi in certain places because Shabtai Tzvi called himself also the as he comes out of Israel. He called him right, he claimed to be the Mashiach, and he called himself Kedoshis. They used to call him Kedosh Yisrael. So many, in some German communities, when they say, Tzur Yisrael, Kuma Be'ez Yisrael, they leave out the last phrase. Kualein Hashem Tzvok Kishmo Kedosh Yisrael, because at the time of Shabbat Tzvi, they said that that refers to the Goel. That refers to Shabbat Tzvi. He is the Goel, and they used to call him Kedosh Yisrael. So they left out that whole line in German communities after the issue of Shabbat Tzvi, that no one should make the mistake that we really believe in it. Alright, so today nobody believes in Shabbat Tzvi. So the Hashash doesn't apply. So really today it's improper. This old practice should be reverted to say that Nusach HaTfilah is Anshei Knesset HaGdolah composed in Tzur Yisrael, to say Brich Shmei, to carry out all of the old minhagim. The question is, when one recites Brich Shmei, is this supposed to be recited after the Sefer Torah is removed from the Yom Kodesh, or do you recite this prayer before you take out the Sefer Torah from the Yom Kodesh? So it doesn't sound like a real shiloh, but it was asked to Rav Moshe Feinstein, which does he consider the more correct minhag? So he looked it up. And the Matthew Ephraim, the Matthew Ephraim says, based on the Zohar, Matthew Ephraim, the last final word in the Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and Kippur Tzadik, he talks there about Minhagim of all year long as well. So he quotes from the Zohar that this Minhag was instituted to be recited after the Haitzor Sefer Torah. After you take out the Sefer Torah. A lot of shuls, the Gabbai will tell a person who has Haitzor to leave the Sefer Torah in the Yom Kodesh until the Chazan finishes singing the Brich Shmei. So Moshe Feinstein says, based on the original source, that it's not proper. That the more correct minhag, as it was originated, was to recite Brich Shmei after the Sefer Torah is removed from the Yom Kodesh. Then in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah,
which number is it?
If I'm not mistaken, it's in the very last volume. The very recent volume that came out 3 years ago. The very last one. It'll be the next issue of the Cantorial CTI journal, where I wrote a whole essay. I'm in the practice of writing, I didn't finish it. A whole essay about the laws and the Havim of Kriyas HaTorah. So you'll be able to get copies. You'll get copies with all the modern settings, has all the sources. In the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, the practice is, in many communities, that the Baal Torah, the Gabbai, recites a Mishaberach, a prayer for the one who gets an Aliyah. And then the practice in many communities is that if the person that got the Aliyah wants to say additional brachas for members of his family or people in shul, so he starts off by saying the Mishaberach for the rabbi, and then for the gabbaim, and then for everybody else. So the Poskim point out that this minhag to recite the Mishaberach for the rabbi only really applies when the rabbi is present in shul. If the rabbi is on vacation, so this minhag doesn't exist. So let's say the rabbi is rabbi of five shuls, and he rotates. So every week he goes to a different shul. But then the minhag to recite the Mishaberach for the rabbi is only if he happens to be in shul that day. Unless the rabbi is one of the Gzovi Hador, which may be the case. But then the minhag is, then the Rishonim say the minhag is that you recite a tefillah for the Gzovi Hador every Shabbat. That's what we say in the Yikum Purim.
Right, we have to say another one, we say it there.
Right, so we've said it already, right. And Yikum Purim, we say a tefillah for the Reish Galvasa, the Reish Yitzivasa, the Yonish Yitzivasa, the big Rabbanim. So that's covered already. That's what the Apostle would say, that the minhag to recite the Mishaberach for the rabbi really only applies when the rabbi happens to be present in shul on that day. In the Kriyas HaTorah of every Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, we always lay from Parshas Pinchas, we always read about the Korbanos, the special Korbanos on the Sof, which were offered on that day that had a Kedushas HaYom. On Shabbos we don't do that. We just lay the Parshas HaShavua, and we don't designate any special Kriyas Maftir from the Parshas HaMasot. So Tosfos in Megillah gives two reasons for this. One reason they give is because the Haftorah has to be related to something that you just learned about. Whenever you lay from two Sifrei Torah, so then the Haftorah has to relate to the Kriya from the second Sefer. Like our practice is whenever we learn from two Sedris, and we have Parshas that are Mechuborim, so there are two Minhagim in the Rishonim mentioned by the Abu Dram, whether the Haftorah that we read is from the first Sedra or the second Sedra. So the popular minhag today is that the Haftorah is always from the second Sedra. There's very rare exceptions. By Achim Mar Tzedoshim we have a whole reason why we have an exception. But usually we lay in from the Haftorah of the second Kriya, if it's the second Sefer Torah, or even if it's two Sedras in the same Sefer Torah, we lay in the Haftorah of the second Sedra. So if we were to lay in every Shabbos a Maftir from the Kriya HaMasotim, the Sukkiyah HaMasotim of Kodesh Shabbos, then we would have to say the same Haftorah every Shabbos, or not exactly the same. We have to say some Haftorah that speaks about Shabbos, so we get very boring. And so he says maybe that's the reason why the Chachamim didn't institute a Kriyat HaMaftir on Shabbos of the Sukkah HaMasafin, because then we would be stuck with a Haftorah that would be either identical or very similar every week. And so he gives another reason, maybe it's a different time. Why? Because this Kriya of Yom HaShabbos Nechalas Meneshan and Tamim, it only consists of two Sukkim. And you cannot have an aliyah of less than two psukim. And to lane of Yom HaShabbos and also to lane something a little before, a little after, wouldn't make sense, because before and after has no shaykhus to Shabbos. I'm a Shchodesh, so he says, will we lane more than the Kriya? Look down, the Shchodesh, we lane of Yom HaShabbos. So I have Yom HaShabbos also has no connection with the Shchodesh. So he says, no, but the Kriya of the Shchodesh has more than three psukim. So you have to fill it in with ten psukim. Every individual aliyah has to have three psukim. And the sum total of the whole Kriya Sefer has to have a minimum of 10 students. So he claims that at least the parsha of Mustafa Rosh Chodesh lends itself to having an aliyah. It has more than has 5 students in it. So it lends itself to having an aliyah. It doesn't lend itself to constitute the whole Kriya Sefer. You don't have 10 students, so to be mashed in the 10 students, we lay a little before, a little later. But on Shabbos, with the whole Kriya of the Yom HaShabbos, it only consists of 2 students. So does he lend itself to one aliyah? So Chachamim didn't want to expand. So they didn't require us to lay in the book. So the Rishonim points out, the Rabban, one of the early Bali Atesis, points out that he thinks this is the reason why only on Shabbos when we recite the Karbanos in the morning before Baruch Shema, so he gets the Shulma time. And we recite the Karbanos, so it's only on Shabbos that we recite the Karbanos HaMusof from the Yom HaShabbos Nechlas and Rishonim's meaning, because on Shabbos that's the only day that we're not going to lay in. In the Kriya Sefer, we're not going to learn of Yom HaShabbos. I comment that's not exactly correct. If you look in your regular standard Orthodox Siddur, you have not only Yom HaShabbos, you have Rosh Chodesh also. So Rosh Chodesh, you are learning. In Kriya Sefer, you are learning of Rosh Chodesh. And you're going to learn of Rosh Chodesh. On a regular Rosh Chodesh, you're going to learn of Rosh Chodesh in Kriya Sefer.
But before that, it's Yom HaShabbos. Before that, it's Yom HaShabbos. Yeah, because when Rosh Chodesh comes to
Okay, but let's say on a plain Rosh Chodesh. On a plain Rosh Chodesh, he asks, why do we recite the Rosh Hashem? We're going to lay Kriya Sefer, it's going to be Rosh Hashem. So why bother reading it here? If the reason why we only lay, he claims the reason why we lay in the Yom HaShabbos is because there will not be a Kriya Sefer Rosh Chodesh. But Rosh Chodesh, there is a Kriya Sefer Rosh Chodesh, why lay that? He says, no, Rosh Chodesh is a weekday. So a lot of people who come to Shul, they just won't remember that it was Rosh Chodesh. Maybe they weren't in shul last night, you didn't say Yal of the Yavar. Maybe you didn't have Marav at all, they're just coming to Shabbos, and they'll just forget that it's Rosh Chodesh. So we left. So he's assuming that everybody comes to shul on time. So he says, that's why we recite that Rosh Hashem before Baruch Shema. It's like an announcement that today's Rosh Chodesh, don't forget to say Yal of the Yavar. Don't forget we're going to say Hallel today, don't forget we're going to say Musa today. It's like an announcement. That's pretty clear. But the reciting of the Yom HaShabbos is not an announcement. Everybody knows that it's Shabbos, but that's because we don't have a Kriya Sefer of Sukkah HaMasof and Masof.
It's
like an announcement. In the days of these Bali Atayim, he was a contemporary of the Rabbi Natan, of the Rajbam, the early Bali Atayim, the family that used to have the Chazan would say all the Sukkah HaMasof, not last. That's what it would appear. The Rishonim point out already, regarding the Rokas on the Haftorah, sometimes people answer Amen at the wrong place. For example, the Mafdir recites the Rokas before Haftorah, so he says, Asher Bachar B'Nevi'im Talen, Rasa B'Divayim Hanem Marim Be'emet, and some people answer Amen. So the Rishonim say that's not the end of the bracha. You have to continue. Habachet b'atoros Moshe Avdol Yisrael Mavin Yehu Emes Vatzedek. That's the end of the bracha. You only say Amen there. And similarly, Tosis points out in Shtochim, in the last paragraph in Shtochim, that when the Baal Mafti recites the bracha after the Haftorah, when he recites the first bracha, Sur Kol Ba'alamim Tzadik B'chol Adoros, and he says, Hamdemem Kosh Kol Dvaros, and that's what's said, that we should not answer Amen, because that's not yet the end of the bracha. Although now one begins a new paragraph, but the two paragraphs really constitute one bracha, and one only enters Amen after the conclusion of that bracha, Hakel Amen B'chol Dvaros. So Tosafos then asks, so why does Naaman begin, why does it start a new paragraph if it's really one long bracha? So Tosafos quotes from Masechet Sofer, a very early source. Masechet Sofer is from the Gaonic period. It was composed by the Gaonim from Eretz Yisrael, not from the days of the Talmud, but soon after the days of the Talmud. So in the Masechet Sofer, they write that the minhag was in the days of the Gaonim that everybody in the shul would chime in along with the Baal Master and say Ne'aman. So that's why it's in big letters. So that everybody should know that they should sing along. Ne'aman Atah Hashem Akeinu Ne'amanim Derecha. Tovach Medrecha Achol Lo Yashuv Reiv Kam. Still there. And then the Baal Master takes over along. Ki Kiyon Melech Ne'aman Rahamon Atah. He says the rest.
Why is there a Master that is competing?
Why don't we just say they should be up until the Master being there? Why do we? Is it totally separate from your giving or class person? Well, in the Talmud, there is a dispute regarding Master whether the Master should be maybe one of the seven Aliyahs on Shabbos. In other words, the seventh one can be the Master. The one who gets Shvi'i should be the Haftorah. Or on Yom Tov, when you get five Aliyahs, the one who gets Hamishi should be the Baal Master. Or no, Master is not all of them in Yom Tov. That's a dispute in Gemara. The Tosafot has the thought, says that we have a compromise. We do a compromise that on a day on which one is not permitted to make any Hosafos, like on a Tainus, on a fifth day, so we only get three Aliyahs. And we have to decide whether the Master is going to be the third Aliyah or not. What is the difference? So we want to begin is that the Master really is the third Aliyah. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov and on Yom Kippur, it's 5, 6, 7 Aliyahs, and the din is big decisions that you may make for Yom Tov. We have a minhag that we only make for Yom Tov on Shabbos. But strictly speaking, now obviously you may really make for Yom Tov even on Yom Kippur, even on a plain Yom Tov, you may make for Yom Tov. Because since you may make for Yom Tov, so the Rabbeinu Tam, and so he says, you may as well fulfill the Shita of both opinions, be good that Master should be after the 5 Aliyahs, and after the 6 Aliyahs on Yom Kippur, and after the 7 Aliyahs on Shabbos. That's not practical. If we were to, let's say, to divide the Sedra up into 8 Aliyahs, we could do that also. Divide it up into 8 Aliyahs, we give 7 Aliyahs, and then the 8th Aliyah would be the Master, then we couldn't say Kaddish in between. It wouldn't be any great tragedy. And then we'd have to say the Kaddish all the way at the very end. Because we don't say Kaddish in between the Kriya of the Master and the reciting of the Haftorah. That we wouldn't do. So let's say they have in Shulchan Aruch a strange case. Let's say you're in the Baal Koreh, after every so often, the Baal Koreh is reading, and then at the end of Shvi, he finds a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So you finish that Aliyah, and it happens that you finish that Aliyah at the end of the Sefer. So then the Din should say that you should take out another Sefer Torah in order to read the next Aliyah of Master. So then in Shulchan Aruch, you don't take out another Sefer Torah just for Master. If the mistake was caught before the end of the Sefer, and you're taking out another Sefer Torah in order to complete the Sefer anyway, so then when you take out the second Sefer Torah, then you give the Baal Master a separate Aliyah. But if the mistake is caught in such a way that you just finished the whole Sefer, then you don't take out another Sefer Torah just for Master. So what do you do? The Sefer Shulchan Aruch Tafa. Whoever got Shvi will be the Master. So in that case, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham says that you don't recite the Kaddish in between the Kriyas HaTorah and the reciting of the Haftorah. You wait till after the Baal Master finishes all the brachas, the Kadesh HaShabbos, and then the Baal Koreh gets up and he says Kaddish. So, happens every 5 years in every shul that happens, and usually people don't remember. From 5 years ago, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, people don't bother to look it up. But that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Happened in Yeshiva, I remember once. So nobody, the whole fight, nobody bothered to look it up. And they did wrong. The Baal Hamor in his commentary on Nereus on Masechet Shabbos points out that this was a very old practice to recite different portions, a tefillah for the Kohol and a tefillah for the outstanding Rabbanim of the generation after the Haftorah. The Sidurim have in small print that the second Yikon Purkan and the Mishaberach Abiseinu are only for Yaakov, are only recited when a person prays in a minyan. Yochan HaMishpal Bebeisho should not recite Yikon Purkan there. He doesn't recite the second Yikon Purkan, and he doesn't recite the Mishaberach. The reason for this is that the second Yikon Purkan is a prayer for the Tzibur. Kol Kaholo Kadisha Hadei, all the young and old people alike in this Tzibur and the Mishaberach as well, is a Tzibur for the Tzibur, and you're not dominating the Tzibur, so it doesn't make sense. But actually, in the Rishonim, the Raivid, and other Rishonim previous to the Raivid, and it's quoted by the Mishkan Brura in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he says that when one davens the Yochid, he doesn't even recite the first Yikon Purkan. Because although the first Yikon Purkan is not really a prayer for the Tzibur, it's a prayer for the outstanding Rabbanim of the generation, but still this prayer is not in Hebrew, this prayer is in Aramaic. And the Talmud says that one is not permitted to pray in Aramaic when he davens the Yochid. When a person davens the Tzibur, so the Tzibur can daven any language they want. But if the person prays the Yochid all by himself, he must daven Dafke in Hebrew. In one of these, I'm saying reason for this. Why is it so? Why does a Yachid have a Sal and have to daven in the Hebrew? But that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, that when a person davens the Yechidus, when there's no minion, so you leave out both you can prove from them in the Shabir. When the first reform was changing the Nusach HaTfilah, so the story goes that they had their one reform convention, they decided why should they take two different perfumes? Twice different perfumes. Same thing, really not the same thing at all, two different prayers. One is for the Tzibur, one is for the Rabbanim of the generation. So they left out the second different perfume, right? Another different perfume. Then they had a later convention, 3-4 years later, they decided to leave out the other different perfume also because nobody understood Aramaic. Most people only understand Hebrew Bekoshi. So the joke is going around among the Orthodox Rabbanim that at the second convention is Bagimachas Kol Haikum. They wiped out both Yikum, both Yikum put. But it's a very old meaning, the Baal Hamor mentions it. How many more? Yeah, yeah, that was the beginning of the reform movement, right. That was one of the first takanas that they did. They let out one of the Yikum Purim, and they left out the second Yikum Purim. On the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh, we have also a very old minhag to bench Rosh Chodesh. So in most communities, the practice is that we say this long Yehi Ratzon, Shetachadish Alayna, Tochadish Yedela, Tzayvog, Livrachah, and so on. This nusach is found in the Talmud. The Gemara says in Brachas at the end of the second parak that at the end of the Shmona Esrei, the proper thing is all week long, not on Shabbos. Every day of the week, when we daven, we should insert, after we finish on Brachas on the Shabbat Shalom, when we say Yihi L'Rotzon Min Yisidah Hagen Bibu D'Fanecha Hashem Tzurim Gali, everybody should insert a private personal tefillah for whatever needs he personally has, a refuah for a sick person, or a parnasa, a shidduch, or whatever it is, a job, whatever happens to be. So in the Talmud, the different scholars have seen the different texts according to different Talmud and different Amorot. So the one that we recite in Tzol Shani Meirot, both in the Dari Huma, this is one of the popular texts that the Gemara has. One of the Amorot said that. Then the Gemara said there was another Tana used to recite. Right, another Tana used to say, Yerotam Mufanafa Shatazmeh, Hayyam Al-Khol Yam, Yad Yifanam, 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 Yad the end of the Shmon Esrei. We say we still the Shmon Esrei at the end of the Shmon Esrei. He chose that and we like that one better. So we recite Rebbe Tchina before Sukkot Zimra. But Rebbe really recited the Tchina at the end of the Shmon Esrei. And this one used to be the Tzvi Lav Rav, which he used to recite at the conclusion of the Shmon Esrei. So it's really a Tchina that he used to say every day of the year. He didn't say Shetachad Eshlan Eshchad Eshazer. He said it's like different than something. He didn't say it only on the Shmon. So that's why many communities in Europe, the Bedavka did not recite this when they bench for Shchodesh. In Germany, many communities didn't say, even in Lithuania they didn't say, because the dinners that are on Shabbos, one is not permitted to recite Chinos. That's the fact why we leave out the whole middle of the Shmona Esrei, because that's Chinos, Bakoshes Tzorochim. So many communities, like in Kelim, Rav Mendel Zatz, used to be here in Yeshiva, the Chassid Chaim Sonnenblom said, and then there's in Kelim, and many communities in Lithuania, not only in Germany, that they didn't recite this. He wrote, in fact, I remember years ago, Dr. Lamb wrote, I think, a book review of the Hershey Siddur when it first came out, it was translated in English. He pointed out he doesn't understand why doesn't Rabbi Hirsch have any comment on this beautiful prayer that they say when you bench for Shchodesh, it's a beautiful prayer. So the answer was, he didn't realize that. The answer is that Rabbi Hirsch didn't say it. In Germany, many communities in Germany just didn't say that prayer. Many communities in Lithuania also, they did not held that it's forbidden to recite that prayer because it constitutes a tchina. But the first prayer that we recite when we bench Rosh Chodesh is a general prayer. It should be a good month, like the prayers that we recite Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a prayer for the whole year. You know, also a general prayer for good health and Yirat Shamayim and ability to fulfill mitzvahs and so on and tainos and so on. Then the second prayer that we recite when we bench Rosh Chodesh is a specific, particular prayer for Geulah, that Hashem should redeem us and bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Why the Dafke at this occasion we recite a prayer for Geulah? Everything is included already in the general prayer that we recited earlier. So the commentaries on the Siddur explain that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh was given to the Jewish nation right prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZalachem was given in connection with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So just like at that time, they fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyas HaLuach on establishing the Jewish calendar. And in the course of that mitzvah, and immediately following fulfillment of that mitzvah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they left and Shana had to do it. So too, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the course of our fulfilling the mitzvah of Tzvi HaSaluach, of establishing the Rosh HaRosh properly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Geula as well. The Matei Ephraim wrote another statement that's called Shari Ephraim. Shari Ephraim has all the details of Kriyas HaTorah. He has all the details also. He composed on everything before and after Kriyas HaTorah. The comments about the Rosh Chodesh Ploni Yiyah, Yom Ploni, and so on. So he just spells out that people shouldn't, there are a lot of different ways where people pronounce, recite this announcement. So he spells out what it's supposed to be. When you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Chodesh will be Yom Ploni or Yom Ploni. Habo Aleinu. Some people say Habo Im Aleinu. The days are coming. So he says the most common practice is that even when Rosh Chodesh has 2 days, he just say Habo Aleinu. I'll call you so. He's speaking about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh isn't singular. And then he says that the minhag is that when Rosh Chodesh is going to be next Shabbat and the following Sunday, then you say Rosh Chodesh Ploni Yiyah B'Yom HaShabbat U'L'Macharos B'Yom HaRishon. Why? Because if he speaks normally when you would recite that Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Sunday, means tomorrow. Today's Shabbat and I'm benching Rosh Chodesh and I say Rosh Chodesh will be on Sunday. It means tomorrow. Why would I speak about next Sunday and a week from tomorrow? But if you say Rosh Chodesh will be next Shabbat and that Sunday, so then you have to say what Sunday you're talking about. So you say, well, the Macharoso. Not tomorrow, Sunday, and next Shabbat. You can't have Rosh Chodesh with 6 days in between. Then Rosh Chodesh will be next Shabbat and the following day. But let's say Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Monday and Tuesday. Then you don't say the Macharoso. You just say Rosh Chodesh year for Yom HaShishi, Yom HaRvi. Whatever, it's going to be, let's say, Rosh Chodesh will be on Sunday, tomorrow. So you don't say Rosh Chodesh year, Machar, Yom Rishon. That wasn't the meaning in Europe. People today make up their own minhagim, they speak in whatever they want. But the Shari Ephraim writes that used to be the old meaning, that was the practice. That you only add on Macharoso when Rosh Chodesh is going to be next Shabbat and the following Sunday. The day after. But then you say, Yib Yom HaShabbat through the Macharoso. And a later print of thought, that was part of the text, so he put it into the text and he concluded with this exclusive of God. That's what he said. So many people leave out. Many people leave out. There are different versions of the Siddur, whether it has the exclusive of Shabbat or it doesn't have it. Probably, right? Probably, it doesn't make sense that we should say a prayer and then say the exclusive of Shabbat. It happens that Rav is the one, composer.
Yeah.
One who composed every prayer.
Yes,
you should follow up by mentioning that. Right, that's in order to touch it up, right. We start off the Shkus Tzivos Rav, and then it didn't make any sense, but they said Shkus Tzivos Rav. Right. Probably the original Nusos didn't have it, like in the Gemara, it doesn't have the Shkus Tzivos Rav. They just say the two. Before the Sefer Torah is put back, so our minhag is, this is a very old minhag that comes from Rishonim, that the Chazim recites Yehalu Hashem Hashem K'nizgav Shmol Vado, which is not the end of a pasuk yet, and then the Tzibur finishes off the pasuk, that ends off Hodo Al Eretz Yishamayim. A lot of people don't know that this is, they don't realize, this is a famous pasuk. We say it in other places in God, they don't realize it. They say Hodo, they think the rest of them, like Hodo Hashem Kitab Kiryon Chazim, they think they're saying Hodo. So it's incorrect. The end of the pasuk is K'nizgav Shmol Vado Hodo Al Eretz Yishamayim. His glory is all over the world, is in the heavens and on the earth. The Rishonim already discussed this topic. The Matei Moshe, who is one of the early Achronim, quotes from the Sefer Rokeh, one of the late Bali Yatsevs, who discusses this practice. Why do we break up the pasuk in two? That the Chazan says a half a pasuk and the Tzibur says another half. The Talmud has a rule that one is generally speaking, one is not permitted to recite a half a pasuk. He gives a whole complicated explanation as to why this was the Dafki instituted like this. This is the proper way that the Chazan says here and the Tzibur says here to respond to reading. The pasuk was composed in the first place. The pasuk was originally composed to be recited responsibly. But for this reason, that many people want to avoid this questionable practice, and when the Chazan recites the Halalut, they stay along with the Chazan Halalut, so that when they will say Hodol and Shemayim, they will be ending the process. But the Chazan, when he says Kinejosh Malavado, he doesn't stop there, he concludes the process also with the Tzibur. Hodol and Shemayim, so it's really the end of the process. The Rakeh is quoted as saying that it's okay, and that's the way this process was originally composed to be recited responsibly. And I'll just question this minister. They try to avoid the whole issue by reciting the entire passage. In the Tefillah of Musaf on Shabbos, we have a very interesting Nusach HaTefillah. Years ago, there were two Nusachos. Nusach Ashkenaz used to say Tikkanta Shabbos or Tikkanta Kovinus. And Nusach Sfar had a different version. And then the Arizal recommended that even those who adopt the Sfar should also adopt the Tikkanta Shabbos, and that's why I think the generally accepted today. I'm not familiar with any of the Sfarim have a different Nusach. I think the generally accepted that everybody recites Tikkanta Shabbos. What is the structure of this Nusach? So the Torah quotes from Rishonim, from Rashi, from early Rishonim, that this is a Tashrak. You have Aleph Beis in the reverse order. Every word begins with a letter of the Aleph Beis going backwards. What is the significance of going backwards in the Aleph Beis?
That's
in the Shulchan Aruch, they call something like that. That's a real side and have a different version. That's very old meaning. The Arizal recommended that even the scribes should also say the Nusach Ashkenaz. Apparently, the Rosh Hashanah don't follow that. So in the Torah, they quote from Rashi and other Rishonim that the pasuk says in Yeshayah, "Kikom Hashem laTzavikin Hashem Yishmeru Yishat Tzavik Vacharu Vashachakati Masvikin." We see, and it speaks about Geula there. So the pasuk speaks about specific mitzvahs that will lead to the Geula who Atido. So one of them is Hashem Yishmeru Yishat Tzavik. That in the schus of Shmirah Shabbos, Masvikin Bivisim means when you support yeshivas. That's how the Chavos Chaim talks a lot about that pasuk in Yeshayah that we recite for the Haftorah of the Tainus people. Which mitzvahs are specific segulas for hastening the Bias HaMashiach? So one of the mitzvahs that will hasten the Geula is the mitzvah of Shmirah Shabbos. So Rashi and Rishonim are quoted as saying that since Shmirah Shabbos is a segula for hastening Bias HaMashiach, and there is a pasuk in Treyasa where it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will call to us and he will gather us in from exile and bring us back there to show the pasuk means Vasharka Lahem Vakapsein. So the pasuk speaks about Vasharka, whistling, calling, sounding a signal so that everybody, all the Jewish people, will gather together and go to Eretz Yisrael. And the word Vasharka has the same sound as Tashrak, the alphabet backwards. So Rashi and the Rishonim say that this is the reason why this Nusach HaTefillah was composed with the reverse alphabet. I'll shame that pasuk that speaks about the Geula HaTefillah. Very strange, but that's what the Rishonim said.
Vasharka
Lahem Vakapsein. No tough. The Shin Reish Kura. You have the Shin Reish Kura without a tough. Vasharka Lahem Vakapsein. Right, the Rishonim point that out. The Rishonim point that out. But you have the final letters also. Then you have Oz. And then you have Nisina and Yitzhabu with Mem Nun. We don't have the rest, but they have the Natsah. They have Mem Nun, Tzadik Sheikhaf, all the letters that have final letters. So they have a slightly different Nusaf there in order to have the final letters also. These are all very old Minhagim that the Rishonim mention already. The Rishonim also give two interpretations, and the Shibobe HaLeket, he gives two interpretations of the phrase Rotisa Korban and Teho. Whether it refers to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Korbanos to be offered on Shabbos, the Korbanos on the Sofim, or it has a completely different meaning, namely the following, that the Torah has a din, that one is not permitted to sacrifice any animal before it's 8 days old. The Chumash says, Shoraket of Eiski, Volei, Vahay Yashiv HaShem, and Tachachimam, Yom HaShvini Vahavah, Yirot to the Korban Yishar HaShem. After the animal is 8 days old. And the Zohar comments on that pasuk, why do you have to wait till the animal is 8 days old to be able to sacrifice it on the Mizbeach? Because every animal has to experience a Shabbos before it's able to be offered as a korban. The Zohar claims the same regarding Bris Milah. Why does the Torah command that the Bris should take place back on the 8th day, or from the 8th day on, if the baby's not well? You're not supposed to do a Bris before the 8th day, because the baby, just like a carbon, cannot be offered before the animal experiences Shabbos. So too, the baby has to experience Shabbos in order that the Bris Milah should be meaningful on the baby. And the Zohar gives a whole Kabbalistic explanation why this is so. So some Rishonim interpret that that's what this phrase means in the davening. That's what we're supposed to have in mind when we daven. That God cherished the fact that all korbanos have to pass through a Shabbos, have to experience a Shabbos before they can be offered on the Mizbech. It's not referring to the korbanos. The miyuchad of Shabbos refers to all korbanos that were offered. That no korbanos could be brought without having experienced Shabbos. The Gemara has a din that in many communities is violated on certain times of the year, that the tefillah hamasachim should be recited before the end of Zayin Shoras, before the end of the seventh hour of the day. So that means 1 hour after noon. So let's say noon is approximately now about a quarter to 12 or so. So an hour after noon would be approximately a quarter to one. So some posting claim that it means that Musaf should be completed. You should finish Musaf by a quarter to one. We don't do that. I mean, Kippur, we don't finish Musaf by a quarter to one. Or even if it happens that Yom Kippur is still on daylight savings time, but you have a quarter to two, we don't finish Musaf by a quarter to two. So we usually assume, like the other opinion in the Tumah Gadim, that it means that you have to begin Musaf by a quarter to one, but you don't necessarily have to end it. But the person should be careful not to delay. Let's say sometimes the person is in a rush on a Shkodesh morning, has to go to work, so he assumes he's going to daven Musaf during his lunch break, or daven Musaf when he comes back home. So it says in Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara that that's not proper. That you have to lechatchila, the proper thing is to recite Musaf, at least to begin davening Musaf before the end of Shor Shvi. In many communities on Simchat Torah, they been and sing so long that they don't begin to daven Musaf on Simchat Torah until after the proper time. So the Torah can say that it's not right. Simchat Torah is the day which was supposed to give cover to the Torah, and be more careful with religious observance, and that's the day that people are mezalzel and they're negligent in fulfilling the mitzvah properly.
Should we
be lying to the evidence on the Musaf? The evidence is that the person didn't daven Musaf by a quarter to one, he davened later. But the Gemara says it's called a Foshea. That's it's improper. The proper thing is that he should really either begin or possibly even complete Musaf before the end of Zion Shor.
But usually in Yom Kippur, sometimes I don't even start.
So if it's on Yom Kippur and you're not even going to start before, then the person would say you should leave something else. The Telechaz is to leave that Hinnani. I remember my father once told the Chazim that hit him. He felt bad and always got a heart attack. Hit him? It's Kodesh HaKadosh and Azeh. I've heard it by Yom Yom Kippur. You have to leave that. Tell God why you should stop making so many Mishaberos. Or to leave that, you have to be Mekasha. That's very important. At least to begin with, before Shor Shvi. The Chazanim should be given a schedule. They should work out the schedule themselves and know when they have to begin with. The Gemara says that in the middle of the Musafim, Tfilas HaMusafim on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed and so on, we mention the Pesukim from the Chumash which speak about those special korbanos that were offered. The Gemara in the last daf on Rosh Hashanah says that if you didn't recite the Pesukim, it just said, as it says in the Chumash, that is sufficient. So the many Rishonim assume that the Gemara on the last daf on Rosh Hashanah is speaking about these Pesukim in the Tfilas HaMusafim. So that's why the Minik Sfard was, I don't know if it still is like that, Shulchan Aruch mentions like this, the Minik Sfard was that they never recited, they never bothered to recite the Pesukim in the first place. Because since the Gemara says you don't have to, you just say, Lechem Kod Vayidai, Vei Moshe Avdecho, you say, give us the schus that we should see a Beit HaMikdash and we'll bring the Kavanah HaMasafim, Ka Moshe Pesach Tarem, and Tarasarim, Ka Moshe Avdecho. As Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Chumash, then you go, Yisrohut Malchutzko, what do I have to say when it says the Gunnah from those chapter and verse? He knows where it's written and what it's written, I don't have to tell him that. I just ask the Bakosha. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch says that the practice by Sfard is that they don't bother to recite the Pesukim at all. So the Gemara says on the Leir Tzav and Roshan, if you left it out, it's okay, so they don't bother to say in the first place. The Lamor, right, that the Minig Ashkenaz is not so, because the Rabbeinu Tam learns a different shot on that Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam, and that's Leir Tzav and Roshan, says that when the Gemara says if you leave out the Pesukim, it's okay, it's not speaking about this, that is speaking about the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. When we recite 10 Pesukim for Malchus and 10 Pesukim for Zechonis and 10 Pesukim for Shofro, so the Rabbi Nathan says that's what the Gemara is speaking about. That if you just say, you recite the Tefillah of Malchus, Shakanogam and Malchus Shakai, he's speaking about Malchus, and then you say Zechem Kursu B'Sharasa, Zechem Kursu B'Yad V'Yach, Zechem Kursu B'Dibri Koshecho. That the theme of Malchus is found in Chumash and in the Zim and the Tzuvim and Fati. And then you go Lecho Kolom Kula B'Chay Dechon. So you got all the Tzuvim in the middle. That's how the Rabbi Hatam interprets. Rashi says, how can that be? Rashi says, how can you leave out the Tzuvim and Malchus? The Chumash says, the Gemara has different opinions. Well, you have to say 3 psukim, or 7 psukim, or 10 psukim, like our practices. You say 10 psukim from Malchus, and 10 psukim from the Sefer Shoz. How can it be an opinion that you leave out all the psukim? You don't say any psukim? That's what Rashi argues. The other Balei HaTosfos disagree with Rashi. They say no. That if you're going to say psukim, so then the Talmud tells you how many should you say, 3, 7, or 10. But if you don't want to say any, you can leave them all out. You leave yourself. So this is the machlokes regarding the psukim hamasofim in the middle of the Shmon Esrei of Musaf, middle of Tzivos HaMusaf. Rabbi Natan says that this is the approval. If you don't recite the psukim, so you're not yet to the Tzilas HaMusaf. So that's why the Rambam says that we are machmer like the Rabbi Natan to recite the psukim. If the person would leave the map, he would say B'riyev, he would be Yosef. He passed like the majority of the Rishonim, the B'riyev, you are Yosef. But Machatchil, Yachosh, is the opinion of the Rabbi Natan, and we insist on reciting this psukim. On a... there's a Menachos and it says in the psukim, everything is mentioned. But on another Yonter, we don't really read all of the psukim in the Chumash. Then we add on, we just read about the animals that were sacrificed. Then we say, and in conjunction with these animals that were sacrificed, there was yayin, there was wine that was poured on the altar, and there was also flour, korbanos. Korbanos are flour, grain flour that was offered on the Mizbeach. Some of the commentaries discuss this nusach of minchasim and came to Mizubar, the korban mincha and the korban nesach hayayin was brought, as it says in the Chumash, and then we spell out how much flour was brought to the korban mincha, and then we don't spell out how much wine. We just say the yain kinisko. But the structure of the prayer is very strange. We say, "Build the bait, we pray to God. Build the bait, Tamidus. Give us the ability to sacrifice the korbanos on the top." And it says in the chumash, and we mention the korbanos. Then we say, "We'll also bring the mincha and the yain, as it says in the Torah." And we mention how much of the mincha. And then we say, and the yain will bring the yain kinisko, bring the proper amount of wine. So why do we mention the wine twice? The mincha we say, we'll bring the mincha as it says, and we say, how much of the mincha? The yain we say, we'll bring the yain, the amount of yain that it says in the chumash. So why mention it twice if you're not mentioning how much? So the Maharshal in his Shuvah says that you shouldn't repeat this, but you should say, u'minchasam ki medubra. You should leave that minchasam in his case. Change it to it. Because it doesn't make sense. Why say, when the chasm is came, kimedubra, we will bring the korban nefach yain, as it says in the chumash, kimedubra, as is mentioned in the Torah. We don't say how much. Then we just say the yain kiniska. Yeah. 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 You can figure it out in the chumash, right? Yeah. But you still don't mention how much the yayin is, so why say kimeduba? Kimeduba means that we're going to spell out the details. So the mincha we detail. We say shlosh esam laporosh and esam la'oyel. And the yayin we don't detail at all. We just say the yayin kinisko. We'll give the proper amount of the yayin. That's why the mashal and the shuvah says you should leave out the word in his game because it's just going to be duplicated later. And there's a Tosfos Yontif in the end of Mishnayis Zivachim where he quotes this shuvah's mashal. And he says, how can you change the nusach of the tefillah? Such a popular nusach in the chasam is kei. So he claims that the word dinis kehem in this phrase refers to the oil that was mixed into the mincha. Because we find sometimes in rare cases in the Talmud that nesach is not referring to the wine, but rather nesach is referring to the oil that was, because the mincha was always lulav Hashem and it was mixed in with oil. He says minchasam is kei refers to the mincha of the flour, and this cane is the oil, and then when you say the yain kiniskum, we'll bring the wine as well. So we're referring to three different things.
And the second one is the yain, the first one is the sherbet.
That's what he claims. That's what the Tosfos Yontif claims. And he says, if you don't have that in mind, then the mashal is right, then you just duplicate. Then you said kiniskum, and you didn't say what, then you just say the yain kiniskum. So why repeat this one? That's what he claims with shatas in this field. It's interesting that and all of the Yom Tovim and all the Shabbat and Yom Tovim, when we gather the Tzilas HaMusaf and we take HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and give us the opportunity to bring Korbanos, we don't mention that the Levim will sing the Shira, that the Levim will sing and play the musical instrument in conjunction with the offering of the Korbanos, only on Rosh Chodesh. On Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, we mention that explicitly in the Tzilas HaMusaf. So we should read all of that on Ishmael Lurecho, Ha'amur Mufnei Mizbechecho. Just how Ishmael Lurecho mentioned. Very strange, why should that be so? So Shlomo Lavilna, one of the Dayanim in Vilna in the late 800 years ago, 1880s, when the Vilna Shas was being printed, has in his sefer Binyan Shlomo a comment on this. Close to the name of his brother, Salo Vilna. They were both Dayanim in Vilna, both super genius. They quote to the name of his brother that he thinks that there's a special reason for this. Why you only ask for Shiri David Abdecha and Ishmael Mirecha on Rosh Chodesh? Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the last Perek, makes a fuss of the fact that the Shir Shoyom of Rosh Chodesh is Docha the Shir Shoyom, or is Kodem precedes the Shir Shoyom of Shabbos. And you have Rosh Chodesh Chodesh of the Shabbos, so then we recite both Shir Shoyom during the pouring of the Yayin, but we recite first the Shir Shoyom of Rosh Chodesh, then the Shir Shoyom of Shabbos. Why should that be so? Isn't Shabbos more important than Rosh Chodesh? Shabbos has much more Kedusha than Rosh Chodesh. Why not recite the Shir Shoyom of Shabbos first? So the Gemara says, today the Farsim of Shehu Rosh Chodesh. I want everybody to know that it's Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, everybody knows that today is Shabbos. Yom Tov, everybody knows. But Rosh Chodesh, we want to be the Farsim. Like the Rabban said, why do we recite the Sukkim of Korbanos of Rosh Chodesh before Baruch Shama? Today the Farsim on. The Rabban quotes that Gemara. Today the Farsim of Shehu Rosh Chodesh. You have to be the Farsim that is Rosh Chodesh. Not everybody will remember. People forget.
What is the Shehu Rosh Chodesh?
I think it's Baruch Nafshi, but I'm not sure. We say Baruch
Nafshi. Why don't you say before that? Hayom Yom Rosh Chodesh or something? Because Rosh Chodesh was the week that I'm counting.
So all I did is say Hayom Yom.
No, but the second part. Shalavim Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shalavim.
Yeah, that you can say, yeah. But all I did is say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shalavim. Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shalavim. Right. The Ramban says it's to fulfill a special mitzvah. Zohar Shem B'Shalavim B'Shalavim. So if it's not, you're not going to mention what day of the week it is, what number day leading up to Shabbos, just when they say today is Thursday, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and they said this, so you don't have to bother saying that introduction. You say the Shir Shoyom. You don't say the Shir Shoyom. It's irrelevant. The only thing is on the days of the week to mention what day of the week it is. The Ramban says it's a special mitzvah not to refer to the days of the week as Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. That is to say the first day of the week, the second day of the week, to count up till Shabbos. That's the Ramban writes on Sunday. And he says that's the reason why we have the practice to recite the Shir Shoyom and mention Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. In fact, in many German communities, they have at the end of the siddur every day the Shir Shoyom without that first line. You don't say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, so they lose the whole effect of reciting. What do you have to say? Another parak in Tehillim. Among the whole effect of reciting the Shir Shoyom is the first line. Hayom Yom Rivi B'Shabbos Shabbo Hayu Halavim Ayim Rivi Samim. You want to say today's Rivi B'Shabbos.
So you could just want to just say the kids are then like
yeah, B'Shabbos. Just say Hayom Rivi B'Shabbos.
No, you have to say something with Har. I mean, you have to say you're not going to say Dvar Shekha. They used to say what? I mean, so say the first one like we do the summary thing that we have on Shabbos.
Right.
So going to Ramban, that would be okay.
Yeah, that would be sufficient. So Ramban writes not finished. The whole purpose of reciting the Shir Shoyom is because of the introductory line. And in many communities, they leave that out. They just say the Perek and Tehillim without saying introductory. This is what Rav Shlomo Lavilna quotes from his brother. The reason why we mention this specially on Rosh Chodesh is because the Gemara says that the reciting of the Shiras HaLevim on Rosh Chodesh had a special additional connotation to it over and above the Shiras HaLevim of every day. Namely, it serves also the function of being the farsim that today is Rosh Chodesh. Then he's bothered with a problem though, that when Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh, and we say Atei Yosar, so then we do not mention Yishiri David Avdecha. But then he's stuck with the question, but the Gemara says that this Kedoy Lefarsim of Rosh Chodesh was the doctrine when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos. The Gemara says, it was only noticeable and conspicuous when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos that Levim would sing the Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh before the Shir Shal Shabbos. So that's the only time it was noticeable, so shouldn't we recite it on, shouldn't we mention this in the Nusach HaTfilah when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos? So he asked his brother. His brother said, well, on Shabbos, the Gemara says the Levim didn't play the musical instrument. They only sang the Shir, because it's forbidden in the Rabbanan to play music on Shabbos. And on Yom Tov, they never played the musical instrument on Shabbos on Yom Tov. So on a regular Rosh Chodesh, they had Shiri David Avdech with the whole shebang, with the whole work, with the music. And on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Chol Yisrael Shabbos, it was on a lower level. True, the period from Shiri Rosh Chodesh was more noticeable when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, but since they didn't play the music, that's why we don't mention in the fifth. A very difficult explanation, but it's a very strange phenomenon. Why the Chachamim only instituted that in the Nusach HaTfilah, Shiri David Avdech, only on Rosh Chodesh that falls out on the weekday. Not when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos. Not on every Shabbos. Not on every Yom Tov. And on a Chol HaMoed. Punkt on Rosh Chodesh.
you maybe you haven't heard some of the Chodesh, but in virtue of the fact everybody knows that if you say Asahya Asahya, the Rosh Chodesh, it's a very big piercing, it's a very strange thing that only occurs very rarely. People right away know what's going on.
Yeah, we have a piercing. We daven Musaf, we have a piercing.
Right,
right, that we, right. But the question is, why mention the Shiri David Avdecha just on Rosh Chodesh?
That was
a piercing.
Yeah.
So this
we have our
own substitute piercing. Mm-hmm. And the Nusach of the Shema Esed that we recite on all four, Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and Shabbos, we have Chinas in the middle. The basic structure of prayer, the Rambam writes, has to consist of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we praise God, then we ask God for certain needs of ours, and then we conclude with thanking God for all of the kindness that He showered upon us. So on the weekdays we say a lot of prayers in the middle. We say a lot of singing. Chameini Chadei, you should give us death, you should give us forgiveness for our sins, you should help us learn Torah and so on. On Shabbos, when we leave our Shabbos, we leave out all of these the middle part of the prayers, but still the structure of the prayer has to consist of some bakashas for Rachman in the middle. And according to the opinion of the Rambam, this is a din in our Torah that a person has to daven once a day, every day, min ha-Torah, is a biblical din. And the prayer has to consist of these three parts, Sheva, and then Bakasha, and then Hodor. So what Bakasha do we have in the middle of the Shmona Esrei? So Moshe Feinstein points out that the Bakasha usually is contained in the last paragraph before the Kadesh HaShabbat. And Kadesh HaShabbat HaZman, we say, Kadeshena B'mitzvei Sheva. This is the Bakasha Sarachi. We ask God to sanctify us with His mitzvah. These are ruchnius, because these are spiritual needs. Usually on the weekdays we ask God for more for physical needs and a little bit for spiritual needs. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov we don't speak about the physical needs, but we do speak about the necessities that we have. We have a bakashas sarachim of the spiritual needs. That's the ikar of the prayer, is a bakashas sarachim of kashen and mitzvah.
What is that
when
you're saying about the
the Ratzi Sabo. I don't know. Ritzu usually refers to a carbon. We speak as if the day of Shabbos was to be accepted as a carbon. I don't know. I have to look in the Mefarshim and the Siddur. I don't know. Very good question. Some Ritzu in Tanakh, in Biblical Hebrew, usually is a technical term that relates to carbonates, the things that are very related to carbonates.
Where the Rambam is the Rambam Shah Pakashan Oda, that's the first character of the Spila, is that when is it going to happen from the difference in Doraita?
The Gemara, he writes it from Sukkim, Moshe Rabbeinu
grabs it. Yeah, it's from the separate thing, it's not one thing of Doraita. Each of the three.
No, the Talmud derives the structure of prayer from Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer in the Chumash, and then the Rambam claims that one is obligated to pray every day. And to pray means in that structure that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed in. We don't have to ask for the same thing. He has to forgive
right,
for the
like
Kaddish.
It's a mitzvah. It's the Chiyuv D'oraisa.
Right, it's the Rambam's opinion. It's an obligation not to daven once a day, every day. Right. We have a practice that's a very, very old minhag to recite Shema Yisrael in the Kedusha of Musaf. We've shown and claimed that in the days of Rav, the Amora, who is a student of Rabbi Yonah, in the days of Rav, there was a Zeres Hashmad. In the Talmud, the story is not found. That's what the Rishonim related story. In the days of Rav, there was a Gzeres Hashmad, and the non-Jewish government didn't allow the Jews to recite Shema Yisrael. So they didn't say Shema. They just daven Shmona Esrei, Shachar, and then they explained Kriyas HaTorah. And then by the time it came Musa, so the police already left the synagogue. So they introduced the recite Shema Yisrael in the middle of the Kedusha of Musa. And even though now we no longer have this Gzeres Hashmad, we still retain this old practice.
I
think they write it was after the Zman Kriya Shema. The police knew when the Zman Kriya Shema was. They would stay till the end of the Zman Kriya Shema. And then the Jews would make a zecher to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema that they weren't able to fulfill. Very strange story.
How do we say Kriya Shema when we take out the sacred Torah? I mean,
naturally,
you say the
Shema Yisrael. There's different in Hagim, whether or not you do say it. I don't know. I don't know. I imagine in the Siddurim they give a source for that. Much more. At the conclusion of the Musaf, we recite Enki Elokeinu. This is a very old minhag. The Rambam quotes from the Gaonim. The Rambam has a Musaf Enki Elokeinu every day, even on the weekday. And many other Rishonim have the meaning only to recite Ein Kel Elokeinu on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Yes, recite everything. Yes, like the Rambam has. Why should Ein Kel Elokeinu be only recited on Shabbos and Yom Kippur? So the Rishonim quote in the name of Rashi, and several other Rishonim say this, that the Talmud tells us that one is required to recite 100 blessings every day. May have brought us the whole Yom. In fact, the Ramban's opinion is that this is one of the Tariyat mitzvahs. He counts this as a mitzvah in our Torah. He might be right from a pasuk. The other commentaries assume that it's only asmachta, it's only takonim of the Ramban. But whatever it is, there is such a principle that one should try to recite the 100 brachos every day. So usually on a weekday, you can accomplish this very easily because the Shmoneh Esrei are so long. Each Shmoneh Esrei has 19 brachos. If you have Ma'ariv, the Shacharis, the Mincha, so here's the problem is solved. Then he said, Bichas HaShachar, Bichas HaTorah. A person has a meal or two. He's reciting so many blessings during the day, so there's no problem. The problem is on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, the Shemana actually is so much shorter than it is on the weekday, so he's missing so many brachas. So Rishonim quotes in the name of Rashi that Ein Kel Elokeinu consists of 20 brachas. You say Ein Kel Elokeinu, that counts as one bracha. Ein Kel Elokeinu counts as a second bracha. And we have these five standards: Ein Kel Elokeinu, Mikel Elokeinu, Nodel Elokeinu, Baruch Elokeinu, Atahu Elokeinu. Five standards, each one consisting of three parts: Ein Kel Elokeinu, Ein Kel Elokeinu, Ein Kel Elokeinu, Ein Kel Elokeinu. You have 20 brachas here. This counts as 20 brachas. Other Rishonim say that this is utterly ridiculous. They times their shows for Yonah. They say, where are there no brachas here? A bracha has to be Baruch Atah Hashem Hashem Ma'arayim. How can this count as one of the brachas for the Mea, brachas for Chol Yom? But that's the famous reason that the Rishonim quotes in the name of Rashi. And other Rishonim say it as well. That we recite the Ein Kel Elokeinu to be mashlim the Mea brachas. In other words, the brachas for the purpose of Mea brachas doesn't have to conform to the rules and regulations of a proper bracha that the Gemara postulates. Normally on a weekday we recite Asher Yevolot Tzion at the conclusion of the davening on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We save the Yevolot Tzion till Mincha time. Different reasons are given for this. I think the simplest reason probably is also from Rishonim. Various reasons given by Rishonim. The simplest reason is that we've davened so much in the morning. People are tired. So we want to bridge the prayer a little bit. Rishonim tell our people, so we save the Yevolot Tzion for later. On Shabbos, before we recite the Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha, our minhag is that we say Banis Tfilasi Lo Chashem Eitz Rotzon. The Shulchan Aruch says that you only say Banis Tfilasi on Shabbos and not on Yom, because you're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say if you don't have a minyan, but the person is davening the Yechidah, so you have a minyan, you don't have to say the Torah. You're not going to learn, so then you don't say Banis Tfilasi. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Banis Tfilasi somehow is the source for this. It's a pasuk in Navi, but the pasuk in Tehillim, but the source for this idea to recite Banis Tfilasi is Zabke introduction to the Kriyas HaTorah. If you're eating and drinking a whole day on Shabbos and you have a good time, you still learn Kriyas HaTorah. You still gather together in order to learn. But if you're not going to learn, then you don't recite the Banis Tfilasi.
But
I don't recall. Remember, I think the Shulchan Aruch says now that only when you're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah. In the morning, no.
No.
I mean the tchinis when you take out the safe shirt from the Yonkodis. I don't know what that's called. No, but here, they quote the Shulchan Aruch, I think it's a Zohar, that the source of this is, after eating and drinking and enjoying ourselves the whole day, you still gather together to learn, to read from the Sefer Torah. So that's why they say it's only on Shabbos in the afternoon. We mentioned the three different versions of the Nusach HaTfilah on Shabbos, and on Friday night we say Atah Kiddushta, on Shabbos morning we say Yismach Moshe, and to Mincha we say Atah Echol. So most of the Rishonim give the reason for the Shinui on Yom Tov. The Nusach HaTfilah is always the same. Atah B'chartana, Atitama, it's always the same, Yalav Yobrei. And on Shabbos, why is it different? So the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim say the reason is because Shabbos had three different stages in the history of the world. First it was Shabbos Bereishis until Minor Har Sinai, and then there was Shabbos from Sinai Yad, and then Atah Echol refers to the Shabbos of Lashi Lovoi. The Abu Dram has another comment that we'll hear people say over the Pshat from the Abu Dram, that the Shabbos is considered like the Kala of the Jewish nation. We refer to Shabbos as Shabbos HaKala, Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. So when you get married, so you have different parts to the marriage ceremony. So the first part is the Kiddushin. So on Friday night we recite Atta Kiddushta, as if our Pirem is referring to the Kiddushin between the Jewish nation and the Shabbos. Then we speak of Yismach Moshe, like the Simchas HaNisuin. When you have Erisin, there's no Simcha. When you have Nisuin, so then you have Simcha, so they say that Yismach Moshe refers to the stage of Nisuin. In Musaf, this is parallel to a Tosefet Ksuba. But Rishon says, the person gets married, he gives his Kala Ksuba, and he gives it, he adds on additional. So Harshit Lomid Delay, Odmei is the Ksuba, he gives Tosefet Ksuba. But Musaf is something extra. Not the Echo, it's parallel to the Yichud that we usually have after the Chuppah. It's very funny, sounds like a Chassidish version. I'm not familiar with the Kavanah. So this they call it from the Abu Dram. The Abu Dram says it's common. In many communities where the practice is to say by Mincha the Yonuchu Vam, so it sounds funny grammatically, it doesn't make any sense. Shabbos, you can refer to it as Zohar on a table. The word Shabbos is Nekeva, and Yom HaShabbos is Zohar, but you say the Yonuchu Vam, plural. Shabbos is singular, however you slice it, it's going to be singular. How can you say the Yonuchu Vam? So many Siddurim, you'll find that they have the Nusach, and Chivein HaShem HaKeinu B'Yahavo of Ratzon Shabbos Kodshech of Yonuchu Vam. So that's what some Rav Soloveitchik and others recommend, that that's the more correct Nusach. If you want to say the Yonuchu Vam, so then you should say Shabbos in the plural. That's the Jewish nation will rest. Right, the Jewish nation will rest on the Shabbos. No, the Yonuchu Vam. I don't know. Does it make sense in grammar? I don't think it's correct in grammar. I'm not sure. I don't know. At the conclusion of Mincha, we have a very old minhag to recite this Kosovo. Tosfos in Menachos quotes this from the Gaonim, that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos afternoon. And as a Tzidduk HaDin, Moshe Rabbeinu, we recite this Kosovo. And it says it also has another minhag not to learn, not to have a Shir Kavua in between Mincha and Ma'ariv on Shabbos afternoon, because we have a din that Chacham Shemei is basically Drosha B'Tehillah. When a very great Talmid Chacham dies, so in the first 7 days of Shiva, his students are not permitted to learn the whole week. And you don't have, they're allowed to learn privately, but not they don't have a public shiur. That's what it says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu died such a long time ago, but there is such a minhag not to have a shiur kavu and not to have a public shiur. And that's why in many communities the practice is that the rabbi gets up and gives a drasha between Mincha and Ma'ariv, or they learn the rabbi speaks of Pirkei Avos, or they say Tehillim, they do anything other than have a regular shiur. Others claim that this is not correct, that Moshe Rabbeinu really died on a Friday, he didn't die on a Shabbos. There's a whole discussion in the Rosh and the end of Sochim, and what do you say to Kosovo for? The different thing, the Tzidik Adin for the Neshamas that are going back to suffer in Gehenna. So the Talmud tells us that on Shabbos, those who happen to be in Gehenna don't suffer. But as soon as Shabbos is over, then they go back to Gehenna. So we recite to Kosovo and the Tzidik Adin for those people. That we are Matzik Aleinu, and Matzik Aleinu with Adin, that we assume that the Din is just.
I heard that
I think that's mentioned by Rishon. Regarding Olenu, the Olenu prayer, in the days of the Rishon, there were different minhagim as to whether one recites Olenu only after Shachris and Ma'ariv, when one recites Shema Yisrael in the middle of the prayer. So Olenu repeats the theme of monotheism. We believe in one God. But in Mincha, when we didn't recite Shema Yisrael, so we don't repeat the theme by reciting Olenu. So you never say Olenu in Mincha. In other communities, the minig was that they did say Olenu to Mincha as well, unless the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Tolaas Yaakov, one of the Kubbalim, one of the Achronim, when you're going to daven Mincha and Ma'ariv one after the other, with no pause in between, so then the Magen Avraham says you omit Olenu. This is a question whether Olenu is to demonstrate that the conclusion of the prayer, or Olenu is to demonstrate that you're permitted to leave the shul. This is the idea of Olenu is a head that you see in the Beis HaKnesses. So then if you're going to daven Ma'ariv right away, so there's no use in saying Olenu. No one should leave the shul right now. If it's the end of the prayer, so then you should say Olenu, even if you're going to follow Mincha immediately with Ma'ariv. There are different minhagim in the morning. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this. Shulchan Aruch says that the proper thing is during the weekdays, the person should have his tefillin on till the end of the tefillah. So what's considered the end of the tefillah? So the Ramah says the end of the tefillah is the Kaddish Efter Olenu. So the Ramah assumes that Olenu is the end of the prayer, and the Kaddish Efter Olenu is the very conclusion of the prayer. And the other person says that it's a mistake, that the Rambam misquoted the source that he was supposed to be quoting, that the real statement is you should keep the tefillin on until after the Kaddish Tiskapu following the Volatium. But Aleinu is not the end of the prayers. Aleinu is an announcement that everybody can leave after the prayers are over already. The Tzilat HaTzim, the Tzilat HaTzim is over already. So there's a little different minhagim, but at first it says in Shulchan Aruch that the proper thing is really on the weekdays really to keep it going on until after the Kaddish Efer Aleinu, like the Rambam. Even though the Achrayim say that it's probably wrong, but they say you should do like that Rambam. Years ago, not so long ago, in many communities they still have the practice now. The people who say Tillim every day in Shul after the davening don't say Tillim on Shabbos until after Mincha. Usually they say Tillim after Shachit or after Musaf on Shchedesh. And on Shabbos they don't say till after Mincha. Why? This is based on, and that's why you have printed in the Siddur, you have a chunk of Tillim in between Mincha and Maariv, because the people who say the Tillim get up and say the Tillim in between Mincha and Maariv to spend the time by saying Tillim. This is based on a Gemara in Maaseh HaShabbos that the Chacham forbid reciting Ksuvim on Shabbos because the Tikkun says the Chacham were afraid that the Balabatim are going to get so involved in saying Tillim and learning Ksuvim. There are certain parts of Ksuvim that are very, very fascinating. They were afraid that the Balabatim would not go to the rabbi's shir. And the rabbi used to give a big shir on every Shabbos on halacha, on dinim, not on a sermon on politics or on philosophy. He used to give a shir on Pesach Din. The people worked the whole week. On Shabbos they had no work. So he used to give Torah. And the Gemara says that the great punishment was suffered by those families who used to have parties on Shabbos afternoon and didn't attend the shir of the rabbi and didn't learn Torah on Shabbos. So the Talmud says that there used to be a haftorah to Mincha, Shabbos and Mincha in the afternoon. They used to have a master, not from Navi, but rather from Ksuvim, to demonstrate, that now, after Mincha, one is permitted to read Ksuvim. That's why many communities now offer. They're still having a lot of shuls now. Now you don't have so many shuls that they say Tillim. There are no shuls that they say Tillim. So they have a Tillim go to work after Mincha is completed. Good mechanic, everybody. I was going to talk about some of the dinim of Meir about the first Shabbos.
Okay,
I just have to go up.